Welcome to A.T. Stewart and Sons Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. I'm glad you've chosen to join us today as we look into the Word of God. So take your Bibles and let's hang out in God's Word for a few moments and see what God would say to us today.
Just a sense of semi-consciousness, but that just opens up you for demonic forces to come in, and that will happen. They just wait for that kind of opportunity. So biblical meditation, we only empty our mind of the distractions of this world, but we fill our mind and our thoughts with truth about God, about the Christian life, and all of that is found in His Word. And so biblical meditation clearly is centered on the Word of God. Now let's review the objectives of meditation. What are the objectives? What do we want to accomplish in our biblical meditation? What's the first one? W. Worship. Good. All right. One thing I've asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and meditate in His temple. This is something I pray almost daily, that God would allow me to behold His beauty and to meditate in His temple, to be in His presence. I would encourage you to pray for that as well. All right, what is the I? Instruction, good. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. The beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord. Wisdom is thinking like God thinks. Scriptures are the thoughts of God. So when we meditate on His thoughts and we personalize and internalize His Word, His thoughts, then they become our thoughts and we gain insight and instruction. What is the third? Motivation and encouragement. Motivation or encouragement. Joshua was given the awesome responsibility of leading the nation of Israel into the promised land. Moses, their revered leader, had died, and now Joshua had to take over. And God says to him, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." Now, he's not talking about financial prosperity, not necessarily even success as the world sees it. But it will be success, meaning you will have fulfilled God's will in your life in that situation. Prosperous is spiritual prosperity. Now, God may grant some material prosperity, but that's not what this scripture is all about. And for someone to take it out of this context and try to apply it to financial prosperity is to misuse and twist this scripture. Meditation will make you prosperous in the things of God. It will make you successful in God's sight, meaning you will accomplish what God has for you to accomplish. And that is success. True success is fulfilling God's will, God's purpose for your life. All right. T, transformation. Good. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renovating, renewing of your mind, so that, with the purpose, you might prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. All right. Now, let's move to the new information. All right. When should we meditate? That's a good question. When should you do it? At prescribed times set aside in Bible study and thinking about God. You should have some set times where you set aside time to be with God by studying His Word, prayer, contemplating, pondering, musing over His Word. Isaac was out meditating when the servant brought his wife, Rebekah, to him. All right? Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward evening. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, camels were coming. All right? Abraham had sent a servant to find a wife for him, and he was out meditating. Now, the key thing for you to see in this passage is he was out in the evening in the field meditating. That tells me you kind of got to get out by yourself if you're going to meditate. You cannot meditate on God in front of a television set. You cannot meditate on God when everything else is going on. You need to somehow, some way, pull aside, maybe get up before everybody else gets up, or wait until everybody's gone to bed, but you got to have some peace and quiet to spend time reflecting, thinking about, pondering, musing on God. So Isaac did it in the evening. At night, while in the bed, the psalmist says, "Tremble and do not sin. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still." Now, your spouse will be happy that that word is meditate in your heart. Because remember, we said the meaning of the word meditate is to murmur, to vocalize, to mutter. Well, they're not going to be able to sleep if you're muttering and speaking while they're trying to go to sleep. So, the scripture rightly says, meditate in your heart. That means you can do it silently as you think on the truths of God. And, you know, this has a health benefit as well. Studies have shown what you think about right before you go to sleep greatly affects your disposition, your attitude when you wake up the next day. And so if you will make it a habit of spending those last waking moments thinking about God, thinking about some verse that you have memorized, that you're pondering over, thinking of all the good things He's done for you that day, it will benefit you, not only spiritually, but it will benefit you emotionally, and I think, therefore, you will be benefited physically as well. All right, got that? Okay. At night in the bed. All right, when we wake up during the night. Psalm 63. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Now, the night was divided up into watches, 3-hour segments, because that's when the with the 4-hour segments, that's when the military would take a watch. You know, somebody. All right, there's 4 watches, 3 hours apiece. All right, so they would go out, and the first watch, the guy would be looking, you know, he was the watch, and then they'd rotate. So when the scripture speaks of the watches of the night, he's talking about when he wakes up. Now, all of you in here, I believe, maybe with the exception of the Kimballs, are old enough to know or not remember what it was like to sleep all the way through the night. You remember when you were younger, you could close your eyes, maybe CJ, you could close your eyes and you woke up and it was morning. Well, she's got kids, so now y'all forget, y'all got kids, forget that. Y'all don't remember what it's like either. All right, so, but that's not the case when you get older. You wake up, sometimes two or three times during the night. Well, there may well be a reason why God's waking you up. He may be waking you up so you can spend some time meditating on Him. So the next time you wake up, 3 o'clock in the morning, you're wide awake. Don't get up and go downstairs and watch TV. Get up, get your Bible, go into a place where you won't wake anybody up, and just get with God. I guarantee you'll get sleepy for whatever reason. It never fails. So, when you wake up, ask yourself, God, is this what you got for me? CJ, you got something going on back there? A bee, okay. All right, she got a bee in her bonnet. All right. All right. Mark, go out there and get that bee. All right. If you're listening on the internet, we've just had a bee show up, and some of our people are getting a little bit distracted, but we're not worried. All right. So when you wake up during the night, when you go to bed, all right, so there are prescribed times you should meditate, but also at all times throughout the day and night, as we face varied situations of life. Look at Psalm 1:2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates when? Day and night. So throughout the day, as situations arise, as you get a few moments of downtime, so to speak, maybe during your lunch break or maybe while you're driving home from work, you can do some meditation there. You can do some reflecting on God and His Word during those times. Now, don't close your eyes if you're driving, but you can still spend time reflecting on God as you get a few moments, right? So you want to keep your awareness of God throughout the day. Now, He is with you. He doesn't leave you. So you don't leave Him. As you meditate, you'll find yourself thinking about God throughout the day, talking to God, carrying on a conversation with God about His Word, His truth, Himself, your situation, your life, helps you to maintain your communion and fellowship with God throughout the day. All right, so that's when we should meditate. At prescribed times, and you got to decide which time works best for you and your schedule. Now, the Puritans used to suggest that if someone was just first starting meditation, that they should do so maybe 30 minutes at a time, maybe 3 or 4 times a week. And as you get more into practice, then you will find you can do so for longer periods. But I would encourage you to find a time, maybe incorporate it into your already scheduled quiet time where you spend time in the Word and in prayer, and then just add some extra time really pondering, thinking about the Scriptures that you have read for that day, about God, about truth about God that you see in your Scriptures. Just spend some extra time just reflecting and thinking and talking to God about those Scriptures. Okay? Now, let's move to why we should meditate. Why we should meditate. First, because of what the Bible is. What is it? It is a revelation of God to man. It is God's Word. It is the God of the universe speaking to us. Men wrote these words, but they wrote these words as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It was not that they went into a trance and just started writing and looked up and said, whoa, look, this is a book of Romans. No, but men, it says, moved along, and the word was used of a wind blowing a ship, a sailing ship across the waters. Men, Peter says, moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit so worked in and through and upon these writers of Scripture that he used even their own personality and their own thoughts, but he ensured that every word they wrote down were exactly the words that God wanted penned. And therefore, they are, and we can truly say, though written by men, they are the words of God. Now, if you would like to listen to a study on why I trust the Bible, you can go to our website or go to Sermon Audio and filter by series, and there's a series on there I preached several years ago, Why I Trust the Bible. It's about six or seven sermons, I think, that give solid reasons why a thinking, intelligent, 21st century person can have absolute trust in a 2,000, 3,000-year-old book. So look at that if you are interested in something of that description. But because it is God's Word, it does us well to spend time thinking about it, pondering it. The Bible was given to us by God to be read and meditated on. Someone has said, an unread Bible is like food that is refused, an unopened love letter, a buried sword, a roadmap not studied, a gold mine not worked. So we have the very words of the God of the universe given to us, translated in our heart language that we can read and think about and ponder. And what else is worthy of your attention and time and effort and study more than God's Word? Nothing. Nothing. I mean, it is deserving of your greatest effort and attention and love and meditation. Now, let's face it, we're going to think about something, right? We all do. Why not let our thoughts be more on God's Word than on other things? Why sit and daydream about the upcoming baseball game or some movie that's going to be coming on or some television series you'd like to look at? Why spend your time thinking about that when you can be thinking about God and His Word? This will take a retraining of ourselves, won't it? We need to recondition ourselves. When we find our mind just kind of idling, and you know how it goes, we just start going. When you find that happening, you need to say, oh, wait a minute, I want to think about God. I want to take this idle time, and I want to think about you, God, not whatever else my mind was just running on. And it's probably would amaze all of us how much time we actually spend in idle thinking. It's just our nature. So ask the Lord, Lord, show me, get my attention. When I am idly thinking, get my attention and enable me to take my thoughts and focus them on you through your word, through a scripture, through a truth about you. And you'll find your life will be greatly enriched. All right, so first, we should meditate because of what the Bible is. Secondly, we should meditate because of what man is and what man needs. Because of what we are and what we need. And what we need is reconciliation to God and others. When mankind, through Adam's sin, fell into sin, our thinking became corrupt. Our thinking is affected by our original sin. Adam, I'm convinced, used all of his brain power, 100%. Average person, I think, only uses 3 or 4%. I think Einstein used something like 9%. Because of the fall, we don't think right. Our thoughts are convoluted sometimes. Even when we try to be rational, many times we're not, because we have presuppositions that we're figuring into our way of thinking that we don't realize we have. So we need to have God's Word to help us think clearly. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Spending time in meditation helps bring our thoughts in line with God's thoughts. It helps make up for the deficiency in our thinking, because of we live in a Genesis 3 world. Ephesians 4:22. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And how do you get that renewal? Through the Word, through thinking, through meditating, through pondering on God's Word by His Spirit in you. Get that renewed mind. 2 Peter 1, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. How? Through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. How are you to get in on all the divine promises and power that God has given to you to grant you everything necessary for life and godliness? Through the true knowledge of Him. And how do you gain that true knowledge of Him? Spending time in His Word, meditating, pondering, studying His Word, musing on His Word. It's when you get it from your mind into your heart, you internalize it and you personalize it. And as you grow in knowledge of Him, and knowledge, not just head knowledge, but personal intimacy, personal relationship. As you grow in the knowledge of Him, then you will see more and more of those promises, of the graces that He has given you, that will be all you need for everything in this life and for your godly growth in Christ's likeness as well. Okay, so that is why we should meditate. Also, because of what meditation does, the reformation of the mind and life. Let me read you, as I'm preparing to close here, Paul Meyer of the Meyer Clinic is a Christian psychiatrist. And let me read you what he said. He says, to prepare myself as a Christian psychiatrist, I undertook college studies, an MS degree in human physiology, an MD from medical school, psychiatric residency training in two different programs, and theological courseware from two evangelical seminaries. During those years, I was equipped with many techniques and shortcuts for bringing human beings relief from anxieties, depression, phobias, fears, insecurities, and other kinds of emotional and physical pain. Among the many tools I've learned to use, by far the one that has been most valuable in helping people obtain spiritual well-being is scripture meditation. Scripture meditation. This is what a Christian psychiatrist said. All the learning he had in all the secular fields of medicine and all that, he says the most important thing that he's seen help people is biblical meditation. Medication brings a reformation of the mind and life. It renews or reprograms our minds. It exchanges our ideas for God so we can begin to experience God's ways. Amen. All right, that brings us to our conclusion. Lord willing, next week we will not meet. We will meet here. We just won't have our study. We're having Awana Awards night. So we'll be in here with the Awana children, and we'll celebrate with them. I'll be on vacation the next two Wednesday nights, and Brother Paul will be bringing a most insightful, I know, and beneficial study. And then, Lord willing, I will be back the first Wednesday night in June, and we will continue our study, and we will look at the benefits of meditation. Paul, come and lead us in our prayer.